Hello, everyone. Oh, wait. Hello, everyone, and welcome to this special edition of Connecting Dots with host Casey Tuckness and special host Damon Deaton and our very, very, very special guest, an expert, Judson Witham. And Judson, I would like to bring in. Damon, are you there? Damon, are you in? Oh, I show that Damon's not there. Judson, I show that you're on. Judson, are you there?
I am.
You are there. Okay, awesome.
Hello.
So you guys, I just have to tell you really quick what literally just happened to me. And Damon is aware of this because, like, I have so many signs by my mom and dad because Judson and Damon, as you both well know, my father, it was toxic poisoning that killed my father slowly and miserably. And I just literally had a red bird fly up on the door handle, the door. I mean, Damon, if I didn't have you on this radio show, I would totally have you, like, on FaceTime right now to show you what literally just happened. It's so crazy because, I mean, my parents are everywhere. But so they're telling me that this is the right thing to do. So, Judson, welcome. I've had you on the show before on Connecting the Dots with Casey Tuckness. But this is a special edition. Why is Conroe, Texas toxic? I've also invited another special guest, and her name is Kim. She's amazing. She's a Texan as well. We're all Texans. Judson got out of here as quick as he could after how many years. But Judson, without me going any further into this, you know, I'm a resident of the Woodlands, Texas. So was my father that just passed away 6 months ago next week. Both of my sisters live here, my nieces, my nephew, my entire, like, family is down here in the Woodlands. And Judson, you have been my eyes and ears and just on your knowledge of what is actually going on in Conroe, Texas. Why are there over 100 people a day dying in this community? Why did they just build a huge Methodist hospital in a huge Texas Children's Hospital, and now they're building, and I don't want to hear that it's convenience or this, that, and another for people. I don't want to hear that because we've got Texas Medical Center just right down the road. So I don't want to hear that it's convenience for us people up north. No, it's because of the toxicity and the poisoning. My home at 90 West Honey Grove Place, the Woodlands, Texas, has been diagnosed as from hazmat as a toxic home. So Judson, you know my story. Spill the beans. I'm ready for you to spill the beans.
Back in the 1920s and early 1930s, a very famous resident of Conroe by the name of George Strake, not George Strait, but George Strake, brought in the first oil well in the Conroe field. At one time in the Conroe field, there were nearly 700 oil wells just in the first few years of the development of the field. At the height of the field's production, there were literally thousands of oil wells all over the Conroe area. The field produced 717 million barrels of oil. In the earliest days, up until about 1935. The production in the Conroe field went up to over 200 million barrels of oil a year during the 1940s and the 1950s. Now, a very profound aspect of drilling a well into the ground 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 feet and deeper is you're bringing up out of the ground everything you're boring out of the hole. And as you're boring into the numerous levels of field all around Conroe, there's different levels where you tap into gas. There's different levels that you tap into what's known as condensate. There's different levels that you tap into oil. In other words, the Conroe Field, even though it's one very large area of well over 20,000 acres, there's literally 11 layers, 11 fields going down horizontally into the earth that were produced. When George Strait brought in the very first oil well, the number one Alexander rig, located on the McHorse survey, it functioned pretty well for a couple of years until the oil well itself began to sink out of sight. In other words, they were pulling up so much gas and oil from beneath the oil well site that the well itself began to sink, and when it did, the oil well casing blew out. When the number one Outlaw platform blew up, this is out near Grangerland, FM 1485 and Highway 3083 out of Conroe to the east of Conroe. When it blew out, it blew a crater in the ground 600 feet deep. That's an extremely deep hole that runs down through a number of the water sands that are near the surface of the land. Now, when you look at the massive development all to the south and to the southeast of Conroe and all those land developments, such as the Woodlands, you need to go back and look at the old maps, particularly the old United States Geological Service maps. These are official U.S. government maps. These are not something that I made up out of my urban myth or my tinfoil hat imagination. These are genuine maps of where the oil field exists, and the old aerial maps, the photographic maps, and the geological survey maps show where all the sludge pits are. Now, when people are first hearing the word sludge pit, another term would be waste pit. Another term would be the cellar pit for these oil wells. What they don't realize is that not only were excess crude oil dumped in these pits, but all kinds of drilling chemicals, caustics, injection fluids, drilling muds, everything from barium and arsenic to just huge amounts of extremely acidic caustic sodas that are used in the oil field in the drilling and production process. When you begin to understand the specific localities, and I put it on your Facebook site, Casey, a huge number of photographs, a huge number of official maps. I put a very large inventory of old books that discuss the actual operations history of the Conroe Field on your website. Now, there's two field areas south of Conroe. One is the oil field, the Conroe Field, and then there's this sneaky little place they call the West Conroe Oil Field. The West Conroe Oil Field is right where your home's built. Your home is built on an oil field. The reality of the sludge pits that are all over that area are staggering. The amounts of condensate and radioactive brine water, which are produced from these gas wells and the oil wells, when they are depleted, they start producing more and more gas. And in the process of bringing that gas up out of the ground, there's a process where they refine the gas on the surface, and then they send the trash gases, the really toxic bad stuff, they re-inject it into the field to keep the pressure high in the field. Now, one type of gas that's extremely common in the Conroe field is known as hydrogen sulfide gas. It's extremely explosive, and it's massively carcinogenic and radioactive. The facts, the science, the history concerning these oil field, gas field operations have been cloaked in secrecy for decades because the oil companies and the chemical companies, the railroad and the pipeline companies, the state and the county, and the city of Conroe itself were directly and massively financed by the oil and gas and chemical companies. They gave them huge amounts of money. There's quite a few number of people that I can name, and I will if you don't have a problem with that.
I've actually muted you because I just want you to go for it. Absolutely. Judson, this is all exposed right now. So you say what you need to say.
The Humble Oil Company, which is today known as Exxon and Chevron, they financed George Strait and a great number of other wildcatters, such as Dad Joyner, or some people referred to him as Pop Joyner. The Joyner family and the Williams family, akin to old Sheriff Guy Williams, that Williams family, they're extremely familiar with the big dollar, ultra-wealthy, unbelievable boomtown financial heyday of the third largest oil and gas field in America, Conroe, Texas. That's not some little field that they're sitting on down there. It's huge. And the chemicals that are separated out of the materials they're bringing up out of the oil and the gas strata are why Texaco Chemical, Jefferson Chemical Corporation, Huntsman Chemical Corporation, and a great number of others, Branham Industries, Alpine Laboratory, Quaker Chemical, Exxon Chemical Drilling Services themselves, and literally hundreds and hundreds of corporate subsidiaries. The money that was generated out of the strikes in Humble, Spindletop, up in not Longview, it'll come to me here in a minute, I'll move on. The northeastern oil field areas up north of Navasota and Killeen. There's oil fields all over that southeastern region, including Odessa, the areas all around the Permian Basin, for instance. And then, obviously, you have huge amounts of oil and gas production in the Beaumont area, up around Koontz. The whole area was serviced by these oil chemical companies that began in Conroe and over in Humble. When you look at the amounts of money that were poured into the Montgomery County Commissioner's Court and to the Montgomery County tax revenues, literally financing the school system, literally financing all of the city of Conroe's operations, and you start to run the names of the corporations behind the companies that were showering the local government with money, you begin to realize that there is a exposure, a liability exposure to the county and to the state and to the city for collusion with these companies. Now, I can cite dozens of well blowouts in the Conroe field, but I'm going to go back to the one that made all kinds of history. It created what's known today as Crater Lake. A crater in the ground 600 feet deep. Now, if there was a well drilling expert on this show, besides myself, they would explain to the listeners the number of water sands where they drill down into the ground 30 feet and hit the first water sand. They'll go down another 40 feet to around 70 feet and runs down to about 100 feet or so, is the second water sand in the area. And then you go down a little bit deeper to about 150 to 200 feet deep. There's another sand, and so on and so forth as you go down to 400 and 500 and 600 feet and deeper. The strata known as the water sands are separated by caliche soils, which are heavily laden with silt and clays, which makes them impermeable to the water. The water sands themselves, if you've ever seen white sugar on your counter at home, the sand that comes up beneath Conroe is as white as sugar. And it's literally referred to as sweet sand. When you blow a hole...
What causes that? That's okay. Just go ahead. I was just going to ask what causes that. Okay.
It's just a natural sedimentation of silt and sand along the Gulf Coast. One of the more interesting periods of study that I encountered in my studying these issues was what's known as the Great Gulf Coast Aquifer. The Great Gulf Coast Aquifer stretches from Florida to Honduras, all down the Central American Peninsula, all the way down through Venezuela, all the way to Honduras. It's a massive freshwater aquifer stretching from Florida all the way to South America. These slush pits, these waste pits, these, there's another word they use for them, but I can't think of it right off the top of my head. Let me go back to your site because I put it on your site. Let me look at it here. I'll keep moving along.
So that's okay. So while you're doing that, go ahead.
They call them mud pits and waste pits. The reality of these mud and waste pits are hugely significant in the contamination of the local shallow well water, which most of the residents are on in that area. Most of your residential water wells are from 70 to 150 feet deep. They're in the second and third water sand strata. Those are the shallow wells that are drilled for homes and farms and businesses all around Conroe. And then you get deeper municipal wells, like what services the city of Conroe and the big school systems. Over at Grangerland, for instance, the water in the school at Grangerland came back horribly polluted and contaminated. So Grangerland had to put in a new well for the school. They were forced to by the state. And this was back in like 1992 in that area. They had to drill to 600 feet to get decent water. I believe they went deeper because that Crater Lake and the Outlaw Number 1 blowouts right there in Grangerland. But that's beside the point. The reality of the cancer cluster in the Conroe field is absolutely staggering, the numbers. All around Allendale, all around Old Humble Road, all along the Highway 242 corridor, all along throughout Northern Woodlands. Now, the reason Northern Woodlands is so heavily affected is large amounts of the fill, the dirt, that was hauled in to build those subdivisions and to build up the building lots for the houses. It was all dredged from a sand dredging operation that's to the south of Highway 242 on the west side of the San Jacinto River.
Which is exactly where I'm at.
Which is exactly where you are.
And Judson, I am so, and I don't mean to interrupt you because I was just going to let you have this entire show to yourself, literally. But I have to intervene here for 2 seconds. Is it true that, so basically what you're saying is that they came in and they built up these subdivisions just like they're doing right now currently after I went and investigated a certain area this past Monday up in Willis, which is still the Montgomery County area, where they're building up a new area out there that's called the Woodland Hills. Okay, they're hauling off trees. They're hauling trees off. They're literally uprooting trees and digging them up and going out there and planting them as if this place was another wood forest. Is that exactly what the Woodlands, Texas is? Did they come and did they bring in trees to plant on top of this toxicity to keep us all blinded by the light? I mean, is that what happened? Because that's what I was told what happened.
The massive deforestation of that area occurred during the late part of the wooden ship building industry and the wooden minesweepers that were built for the United States Navy during the First World War and the Second World War. They cut down entire forests to supply the war efforts during World War I and World War II. There was massive residential home construction. There was massive expansion of the railroads, and the forests in that area were massively depleted on just a grand scale. In the process of cutting down all the timber in the area, there was also massive wood treatment. Conroe Creosote plant was not the only wood treatment plant in that area. There was the United Creosote site, and that was right behind the brand-new Allen B. Sadler courthouse, the administration building. It was right down the railroad tracks to the north of Highway 105 as you run through the center of Conroe. There was another massive wood treatment site all along Highway 45 to the south of what's known as Grogan Road, and Exxon Road runs on the other side of FM 1314. The wood treatment for the railroad ties that were shipped by the train loads out of that area. A huge wood treatment plant was up in Waukegan, which is out near, I can't remember the name of the town. Let me look at this map, see if it's on this map. To the east, kind of to the northeast of Conroe. It's not showing on this map. I'll have to look at another map. But it's out beyond. They put a big landfill out there, and I can't remember the name of the town. They put a huge landfill out there in the 80s to cover up, if you will, the wood treatment site. It was security, out in Security, Texas. There we go. It took me a while to remember the name of the town. But the entire area, the whole area, if you were to walk onto the carbon black plant, a 35-acre site to the southeast of where Huntsman Cancer Research, Huntsman Chemical there on Jefferson Chemical Road, if you were to see that site, it'd make you pass out. You wouldn't believe what you were looking at. Dirt 30 feet deep, just as black can be. Gooey, ooey, goop, 30 feet deep, covering 35 acres. Now, when you look at the history, if you look at the history of the Jefferson Chemical Company, which I sent you, you begin to realize that these people are massively wealthy corporations, just unbelievable in scope and size. And the amounts of money that are available to them are staggering. One of these affiliates with Jefferson Chemical, the Jefferson Chemical Road, where Huntsman Chemical sits today, is the American cyanidamide company. Now, American cyanidamide is cyanide. These people derived huge amounts of the most toxic substances known to mankind from the Conroe field. When you have well blowouts that spew condensate and crude oil and natural gas in its liquid forms coming out of the ground for months when they cannot control the blowouts, this stuff is spewing chemicals and poisons beyond belief in vast quantities all over the top of these water sands. And it's only got one place to go, and that's seep into the ground. When I approached, and I'm going to kind of fast forward this a little bit, when I approached the Montgomery County Commissioner's Court and started laying these facts out for the Commissioner's Court, they did not respond at all. Dead silence. They said not one word because they knew that I had them and they had nowhere to go. This was back in the 1990s. When I confronted the Montgomery County Commissioner's Court in public session, you could have heard a pin drop in that room. They never said a word, not one single word. And that's when the Texaco Chemical Corporation very quickly and magically got sold to the John Huntsman family out of Utah, which run one of the largest cancer treatment programs in the world, Huntsman Cancer Research out of Salt Lake City, Utah. That's the exact same interests that run the Huntsman Chemical Company, where the Texaco Chemical Company sits along the Jefferson Chemical Road, just adjacent to Highway 3083 and to the south of FM 1485 on your way over to New Caney. The thing that boggles the mind, absolutely boggles the mind, is all of the East Texas oil fields all the way up to Kilgore. That was the name of the town I was looking for before Kilgore. They built these oil transfer pipelines to come to Conroe so that they could tap into the pipelines that ran to the Houston Ship Channel. So all of the oil from the East Texas oil fields at one time were transported through the site where Huntsman Chemical sits right now. At that site, vast sludge pits, vast pits, lakes, ponds of crude oil were constructed there right on top of the ground. They didn't use any liners. They didn't use any tanks. They just dumped it like you'd fill up a dirt pond, huge storage depot for oil and all of its toxic components right there on the south edge of the railroad line as you head out towards Grangerland on 1485. The Humboldt Oil Company, Chevron, Exxon, Thornberry Well Services, all of these companies, including the Patton, ever heard of Patton Village? You with me? Did this call hang up? Hello, hello?
No. Here, I'm right here. I have you on mute because I'm like, and so I was trying to unmute it so I could tell you that I'm very familiar with the Thornberries. I'm right here. I'm very familiar with all this. I'm just letting you have the stage. I mean, like, you have so much to say. It's like I don't want to interrupt anything that you have with questions because at the end we'll ask questions. So go ahead.
The reality of the mega fortunes, the unbelievably wealthy families that made huge amounts of money from the development of 11 levels. It's like 11 layers of a chessboard in the Conroe field is staggering, the amounts of money that came out of the Conroe field. Millions upon hundreds of millions, and then all the chemicals and It's unreal. One of the companies that I find very fascinating is Litton Industries. Now, Litton were handling radioactive materials that are used by companies like Baroid for radio logging wells, where they inject radioactive materials down in the borehole to be able to read underground how big the oil formation, the gas formation is. Another one of the companies that is just staggering is, again, this Jefferson Chemical Company. When you run the corporate subsidiaries and affiliates of Jefferson Chemical, you come up with the largest Fortune 500 companies in the world. Procter & Gamble, BASF, Pfizer. You get American cyanamide. I don't know quite how to pronounce it. They're merged with American Home Products. And their list of organizations is just beyond belief, the amounts of money and other companies that they're affiliated and own, like Bloomingdale Aerospace. They own these huge housing development corporations. They're into everything from the practice of law to the patenting of pharmaceuticals and medical products. It's just goes on and on and on and on and on. And the drug production that they profit from the unbelievable numbers of chemicals that they're able to extract from crude oil. One of the biggest products in the world that people might, you know, recognize is Formica. Like you put on your kitchen countertop. Melamine, which is just the most toxic, nasty building material. It's got acute toxicity, chronic toxicity. It's got all kinds of mutagenic and carcinogenic qualities. And how they install it in mobile homes and in these lower cost tract homes like yours. Mitchell Energy and
you know, my father, right, and you know, my father lived three blocks from me, and my sister built like the first home in the subdivision. So I have a huge interest in this area in Alden Bridge, which is exactly the minute that you and I were connected a couple of years ago. I mean, you're like, so are you on this side of 242 or this side? Are you on this side of 1488 or this side? And I'm like, and you're like, okay, that area. And I mean, like, I'm like, how could he know, like this side or this side of 242? How could he know this side or this side of 1488 unless he absolutely knew exactly what he was talking about? That's when I knew you absolutely knew your stuff. And then I introduced my father to you, and my father, who just, you know, 6 months ago this week passed away, and was Judson. I mean, I sent you the pictures of my father, and I sent him to the head of terror task force for the FBI. I sent him to the county judge. I sent him to the DA. I went and met with the coroner from the hospital that picked my father up at the hospital. I went and met with the CEO of Conroe Regional Medical Center, who killed my father, you know, along with the heavy metals toxicity poisoning that my father finally slowed. I mean, like, he died a very slow death, miserable death, because of this toxic land we live on. And not only that, our property taxes. You know, I don't want to go straight from the death of my father to property taxes, but my property taxes have quadrupled in 12 years. I mean, they're really taxing us to live on toxic land? They're taxing us. My property taxes, Judson, are $6,600 a year. $6,600 a year, okay, that are due every December. $6,600 a year. And the population, and with my research on the people that lost their homes fraudulently by this mortgage fraud, all the and at my last investigation, it was 115,023 people that lost their homes just in since 2009.
Let me jump in.
I'm getting wound up, Judson.
I know it's very frustrating, and it angers people when they find out the truth. Here's something that is needs to be confronted. There's a very famous lady there in the area. Her name's Nelda Luce Radebaugh Blair, and she's most recently
famous for killing people.
Well, let me just back up. She's very famous for being kind of the face of cancer in the area, and how she was wealthy enough and had enough of the, you know, fantastic insurance policies and stuff that she got the best care money can buy, and she survived the cancer that she got sick with. Well, here's something that Judge Sadler and Mike Meter and all the other, Craig Doyle and Sheriff Henderson, and I can name names all day long, they know for a fact. When you do a real estate abstract and search on property that's being run through the Federal Depositors Insurance Corporation lending programs at all the banks and the mortgage companies, when the FSLIC and the Federal Home Loan Bank Board and the Federal Reserve and HUD and FHA are all involved in these lending programs, you have an obligation to do a site toxicity search and reveal to a prospective purchaser whether or not the land is suspect or is in fact toxic. Every single mortgage loan and foreclosure that gets recycled through the remix and, you know, through the whole foreclosure process, they have to reissue a new title opinion. And if these properties are located anywhere near poisoned or contaminated land, or are in fact on poisonous land, they're obliged by federal law to disclose that to the prospective purchaser, so that the prospective purchaser can say, no, I don't want to buy it because it's a toxic site. Now, when you confront people like Judge Sadler and all of his banker friends and all of his real estate development marketing friends, and when you confront the tax collection law firm of, you know, Heard, Goggin, Blair, no. Williams, whoever they are now.
Blair.
They know very, very well that these toxicity reports are required under federal law. Now, if Nelda's listening, she just passed out and, you know, fell over in her chair. Because when you start asking these tax foreclosure lawyers and the people that are officiating these tax foreclosures and these mortgage foreclosures, where's all your environmental reports? Come up and go silent because they know that they've been caught.
Right.
Well, go to the Montgomery County Health Department and ask them for all of the water well statistics, the water well statistics for the oil and gas wells and water wells in the Conroe Field, and see how many water wells have been drilled servicing the community in the area, right out there in the oil field. The well that services the high school in Grangerland is right in there amongst the sludge pits. The whole area, the entire area, not according to Judd Witham. It's not according to me. It's according to the United States Geologicals. I'm looking at the map right now. I just pulled it back up. All around Grangerland, all around Allendale, all around Wigginsville, all around the Humble Club Lake, all around the Outlaw Pond, all around Givens Pond, all around, I don't know, geez, there's so many, the Outlaw Pond, all over the whole area, there's sludge pits, lots of them, everywhere. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of sludge pits. And then as you go down 45 towards Mattress Max, as you go down towards Greens Point, you know, the airport, and you go south 45, back in the 1940s, back in the 1940s and 50s, that was old Highway 75 into Houston, right? And then they built 45. Well, they used to haul all their trash and all their, you know, chemical-filled barrels and just every imaginable kind of toxic waste you can think of from the oil, gas, and the chemical companies down around Pasadena and, you know, on the west side of Pasadena and on the west side of Houston, the Highlands area, out there where the big Budweiser, Anheuser-Busch brewery is, the South Houston, the city of South Houston, the whole area used to send their garbage trucks and stuff up Highway 75 towards Conroe, and they'd fill in what they call these borrow pits. Just massive dumping all along the area from the Woodlands to the Harris County line. The whole area is nothing but a freaking waste dump. The whole freaking area.
Right. That's right.
When people realize that the dirt that was brought in to build up the housing, the lot where these homes are built, all of this material was dredged out of the San Jacinto River, basically, and particularly in an area out behind Tamina that was the home of Fort Dodge Corporation for years. Fort Dodge is one of the biggest freaking toxic chemical handlers in American history, all the way down to Humble. The whole San Jacinto River is full of toxic sand and toxic silt, massive amounts of it. Now, just
in the San Jacinto River, I was just going to say really quick that the San Jacinto River is what ended up flooding Kingwood after Harvey, after Hurricane Harvey. That area was fine. And I have tons of you know, different people that I advocate for that lost their homes in Kingwood because of the release of the San Jacinto River Authority. So who's to blame? Mother Nature or the chemtrails? Go ahead.
When the River Authority released 5 million cubic feet of water a minute out of their Lake Conroe Dam, they waited until the very last second to release that massive tsunami of water down the river. They did that on purpose. They did it with foresight. They did it with calculation, or what's known as center. The professional engineers that operate the release gates at the Lake Conroe Dam, they did that on purpose. They didn't say, oh, gee, you know, somebody go open the dam. We don't have anything better to do today. They waited until the last second when the lake was about ready to go over the top of the dam to let that water out. And they did that on purpose to flush, to environmentally flush the San Jacinto River. And when I've brought that up to local media, when I've brought it up to Eric Yalick, when I've brought it up to that Golden Hammer, when I've brought it up to the Courier, brought it up to the Houston Chronicle, ABC News, NBC News, CBS News, in Harris County, crickets, absolute dead silence. Because when you expose
you're exactly right.
Yeah, they flushed that river basin on purpose. That was done intentionally, to get rid of massive amounts of silt and sand that had built up on the bottom of the river that are not only massively contaminated, but now you got this nice, fresh, dredged river with all kind of real estate where you can, you know, build a bunch of houses down there along the river, right? And not only that, but now you've got increased and improved drainage for Montgomery County without having to spend millions and millions of dollars to dredge the river. They let Mother Nature dredge the river. That's why that was the calculated plan, to allow so much water to build up that all they had to do is flush it and dredge the river naturally. And in the process, what happened, Casey?
And in the process, everybody got flooded and lost. Yeah, and everybody got flooded out.
Yeah, and start asking questions about what's known as an environmental river flush. This is what the Environmental Protection Agency and the Army Corps of Engineers call it. All you got to do is look it up on the internet. It's called an environmental flush of a river or a lake.
Okay.
It's standard operating practice for these big conservation organizations of the United States government and of state land management and state conservation organizations. You know, they do this stuff intentionally all the time. So when you hear that they waited last possible minute before the water came flowing over the top of the dam and topped over the Conroe Dam, they filled Lake Conroe up to absolute maximum capacity before they opened the floodgates. That was done.
And that's the old saying, open the floodgates, right? Now I know what it really means because I witnessed it over Harvey.
Not like they're sitting around in the San Jacinto Authority smoking marijuana and somebody, we better go open the floodgates, I forgot. No, they did it on purpose. That was intentional. And there's no other way. They either knew or should have known. That's the standard in a court of law. They knew or should have known that the floodgates were supposed to be opened in advance of the big storm,
Who is responsible for that, Judson? Who is responsible for opening up the floodgates that flooded out Kingwood?
Right.
Because I have a ton of friends that lost everything.
The governor of the state, Greg Abbott, the Montgomery County Sheriff Rand Henderson, and the grand jury should be fully investigating what we're talking about here. The Montgomery County Commissioners and Harris County Commissioners should be up their friggin' butt questioning, why did you wait till the last second? I mean, what was the plan there? We're paying the San Jacinto River Authority how much money to drive the bus? These people are supposed to be professional bus drivers. They're not supposed to be pimple-faced teenage kids drinking wine and smoking grass, and at the last second, we better open up the floodgates.
Right.
These are engineers. Right. These are professionals that did that. And the idea that it was just an oversight and an error, that's a load of crap. For lack of a better word, they flushed a bunch of crap down that river. Now back to the numbers of people that have become deadly. I mean, they've died. Huge numbers of people.
100 people a day is what is dying in this county. 100 people a day are dying in this county.
The things, I posted a whole bunch of information on your website. I mean, photographs of oil lakes, huge articles on H.L. Patton and his well services company. I didn't post any of the stuff on Thornberry. I didn't post a lot of the stuff on Exxon. Now, I did post quite a number of photographs on that giant chemical company that services the oil field, the big fire in 2015, I guess it was. What's the name of that chemical company? Let's see.
Is it the one out by the old Exxon?
It's the one right next door to Jefferson. It's the one right next door to the Jefferson Chemical Company. They're right over there where Texaco and Owens Corning are. Here, I've got it pulled up right here. Texas Oil Field Chemical Supply. What's the name of the company here? It doesn't tell me the name of the stupid company. It's just the Environmental Protection Agency. Oh, here it is. Drillchem CEO Brandon Hayes told CBS News. And if you see this fire, you need to understand that when Quaker Chemical and Alpine Laboratory went up, It set 150 acres of the surrounding woods on fire all around the Exxon and all around the Thornberry Well Services operations there on the Exxon Road. 150 acres of the timberland went up in smoke as well. Now, the fire marshal for Montgomery County, Dan Welsh, I don't think he's alive anymore. I think he's dead now. He was a quadriplegic. You'd always see him in his wheelchair. He ran the fire marshal's office. He put up a 3-mile perimeter and wouldn't let anybody in and would only let people out. They shut down the whole area because of the massive toxicity of what was going up in the air. I had a very good friend of mine work at that plant, and he was told they were making soap. They were told they were making soap, anti-foaming agent for the oil wells. Well, soap stick is full of the most toxic chemicals that you can think of. And it's not just for controlling foaming in a producing gas well. It's also used
for... That is insanity.
Yeah, pretty much. It is. And it's
okay.
Insanity.
So Judson, it is. It is finest. So Judson, let me see here. So I've got, hang on 1 second. Let me bring him back into the studio. I'm trying to bring Damon into the studio because he's got questions for you. So Judson, let's talk about little Miss Lacey. Let's talk about the deaths that have occurred. When I sent the pictures of my father, because we had to have a closed casket because his body was so
yeah.
What's the word I'm looking for?
I know. It was bad.
My father it was bad. It was bad. Was it not bad?
Yeah, he looked, and I'm trying to be respectful when I say this, so don't be upset by what I'm going to say. His skin was the same color as Herman Munster's. You remember the Munsters on TV? The Munsters.
I do. The Munsters.
With Grandpa and Little Eddie. Herman Munster had that green skin. Or the Hulk. His skin looked like the skin of the Hulk. And what caused the discoloration, I can only guess, is that his body was massively toxified from organ failure. Massively, yeah.
Yes.
Undertaker, the funeral home operator, couldn't put enough makeup on him to make him look. It was crazy. Yeah.
Correct.
Crazy.
John Powell was the one who actually embalmed him. So the daddy passed away on July 27th, and we were with him. He passed away at 8 a.m. We were with him in the room until 12:20 p.m. They allowed us Conroe Regional. The one thing they did do right, other than murder my father, is and this is public. I mean, like, I'm making public announcements here. Conroe Regional Medical will do nothing but murder your family or your next of kin or your friends or you. They will murder you. And they can come and sue me. They can come and do defamation. Anything they want to do to me, I encourage them to do. Because I will take every ounce of evidence that I have against them. No, but that hospital should be shut down. Judson, it should be shut down. And I share that because, like, I'm getting anxious because we're talking about the death of my father that just happened. This next week will be 6 months. And, I mean, we couldn't even do an open casket because my father literally had so much discoloration. Judson, I sent it to the head of terror task force for the FBI. I sent it to the district attorney's office, Brett Ligon's office. I went and met with Rob Freyer in person in his office, who's the assistant DA to Montgomery County. I sent it to Judge Sadler. I sent it to, and the list goes on and on and on. I sent it to Frank Shankiewicz, who I interviewed on my show last week. Frank Shankiewicz was he founded Make-A-Wish Foundation. He was a former homicide detective. I mean, Frank Shankiewicz is like, Casey, I've been in hundreds of homicide, like, autopsies, and I've never seen anything like this. I buried my father, I should have been able to consciously gone and like spent time with family and friends, right? No, I had to immediately start my investigation the second that the funeral was over. The second that the funeral was over, I had to go straight to send my father's hair off to the toxicity place, okay, out of Phoenix, Arizona. I already have back the results. And with that, then I went to, you know, and met with three people, and Damon, you know them very well, the McNews, Brad McNew, Ann McNew, and Brad's son, Michael, and his wife. Over 105 years of experience, Judson, in the mortuary business. Two grown men crying and a woman that has seen more deaths than any of us combined, right? That has done autopsies on, and not only autopsies, but embalmments. They cried. They were just like, we don't know what to tell you. Like, this is crazy. No. We've never seen anything like this.
Here's something
Judson,
that I want.
You know, it's. Okay.
Oh, I'm wondering, you asked who's responsible. Montgomery, and I don't know if he's still the fire marshal, but Jimmy Williams is the Montgomery, or was the Montgomery County Fire Marshal, Jimmy Williams.
That's not him any longer. I actually met the fire marshal this past week.
What's the current one?
Alan, I can't remember his exact name. I actually ran into him by accident on Wednesday of this week.
Yeah, these people have OSHA sheets and product data safety sheets from the EPA on what's being used in all the area's plants. So if they respond to a fire, they know to bring a hazmat team with them. Now, the Lake Conroe Fire Marshal Chief Leonard McKeska, Kevin Brady, Congressman Kevin Brady is responsible for knowing all about this stuff. He's responsible for being a liaison to the Environmental Protection Agency, to the Department of the Interior, to the United States, the Coast Guard, the United States Coast Guard. These are the people that have jurisdiction over the waterway called the San Jacinto River, the East and the West Forks, Caney Creek, Crystal Creek, the Texas Railroad Commission, the Montgomery County Health Department. They know all about these chemical companies. They know all about it. But when you try to get information out of them, they clam up tighter than tight because they know that Montgomery County was bought and paid for by the chemical companies for decades and still are. And then you've got all these real estate development companies. Then you've got all these title insurance companies like First American Title. You've got all of these foreclosure and tax collection law firms that are supposed to be, you know, doing site toxicity reports to attach to the new title insurance policies and disclosures. You know, what do they call those, RESPA disclosures for HUD? If you've got a toxic site, you can't keep it secret when you're selling your home.
That's correct. And that's what I had to do. And I actually think that I do have Damon on the line now. I think it actually brought him on. I'm telling you, like, the NSA is all over this show right now. There you are, Damon. Hey, so guys, we've got literally, it's crazy because I've been trying to bring you on for 5 minutes, Damon. Damon, meet Judson. Judson, meet Damon. Damon, like,
Judson
summarizes everything for me. We only have, like, 2 minutes left. We've got 90 seconds.
Go.
Damon, I know that you have a lot of questions.
Well, I do, and we can follow up later on. But, Justin, one of the things I was wanting to find out is when they released the overflow from the dam, approximately how much of the sludge and silt that was flushed out went into the residential areas and had an impact on people?
When you're releasing...
Yeah.
You know, half a million cubic feet of water a second, or whatever the figure was, it was astronomical. You're literally driving bulldozers down the river. You're flushing
right.
So much water. You're pushing, you know, not inches, but you're pushing feet of silt and sand on the bottom of the river downstream. Now, when Alicia came through, they shut the Highway 242 bridge down. The Montgomery County Sheriff's Department had cruisers at both ends of that bridge. the water was all the way up to the roadway. It looked like Lake Conroe along 242 corridor. It's huge. When you'd go down in the neighborhoods of Bennett Estates and you'd go down and look at the river behind Cumberland, it literally looked like somebody had taken, you know, heavy equipment and pushed huge amounts of mud and sand all up on the banks. It was like it had been massively bulldozed during the Alicia. Now, I haven't seen what happened during the recent release of the water from the lake, but I have to assume that the massive release of water would have done at least the same or much worse. When you understand that the gas well operations in the Conroe field today massively are larger than the oil field or the oil production of years gone by, the oil field is producing much more gas than it is anything else now. And you have a dewatering process where huge amounts of brine water is produced. Now, this brine water is supposed to go into a tanker truck and taken over to a deep injection well, which they're injecting these wells with brine and other waste as well. But the problem lies with when you understand Keystone, you know Keystone, the big Keystone oil pipeline out of Canada, that Keystone? Most of that land southeast of Conroe is owned and controlled by Keystone, Chevron, and Exxon Oil. Atlantic Richfield, BP, Marathon, these huge oil companies. And the only reason I know it, one of the early players in the real estate in the field was an attorney in Conroe. I doubt he's still alive. He could be over 100 years old now. His name was Witz and Etheridge, W.B. Etheridge. He had his offices immediately across from the courthouse. And Mr. Etheridge told me lots of stories.
Hey, so Judson, I've got to tell you this. Judson, I have to say this really quick. Jay Wright, J-A-Y Wright, W-R-I-G-H-T, is now right across the street from the Conroe Courthouse, and he is who I found a lot of information about the spike camera hinges, you know, with the infrared hinges in it that happened in my house. And J.C. Devers is who took me to meet him.
The last thing I'm going to say is that Conroe and Montgomery County is literally being run by the Sopranos. And
literally.
No, I'm not exactly. Literally, yeah, it's a mob. And it's a mob that includes Department of Justice. It's a mob that includes FBI. It's a mob that includes the wealthiest corporations in the world. They supply huge amounts of money to the county attorney, to the county tax collectors, to the commissioner's court. It's staggering, the money that's poured into Conroe by these corporations that are responsible for this mess. So there's this conspiracy of silence. That's exactly what it barbs at. Judge Sadler, you know, he can run, but he can't hide.
Right. And, I mean, he acts like he's my biggest hero. Guy, Damon, I tell you, I'm like, okay, you see – Sadler, by the way, this show's off now. By the way, you know, you see Sadler, you know, I mean, so Judson knows Judge Sadler very well and knows all about him, Damon. And Damon, uh-huh. I mean, Judge Sadler's the one who, like, you know, he you keep your enemies close and your friends close, but your enemies closer is what my parents always taught me. And yep. Judge Sadler, we went to, my father and I went and had coffee with Judge Sadler last March. And he basically said, look, what do you need? Because I'm here to help you, you know? I'm here to help you. And Judson was like, you're sleeping with the enemy. I'm not sleeping with anybody. But, like, you know, Judson, how you felt about it. And I was like, Judson, I just want to see what his intentions are. It's not that I am, like, falling into this trap. I just want to see what his intentions are. And it's so funny because he's like, hey, Casey, tell everybody where you're going. Oh, okay, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that. I'm going to post that publicly. You know,
yeah,
like Damon already
sure
knows where I'm
that.
Going. Judson, you will know shortly.
Let me tell you something. you go on to Casey's website. She's got two of them. She's got one that's with a private investigation company, and then she's got the Connected Dots, and then she's got her personal Facebook site. Well, I put a lot of information on there, which is a fraction of what I have. There are things that I have that'll lynch them, literally, put them in prison. They have been running a conspiracy of silence about the poisoned groundwaters all around Conroe for many years. Now, when I say the poisoned groundwaters, if you understand the sedimentary ground strata, when you understand the sandy loam on the surface, when you understand the sand that lies beneath all of that oil field area, that stuff, there is no bedrock. You'll hit a blue, you'll hit a bluish clay. You'll start hitting some blue clay at about 150 feet. So the first
typical of the coastal areas, because I studied geology in college, and of course the difference, say from where I am in the Texas Panhandle, once you drop off the Calf Rock, you have a complete change of strata, and and so I'm right on target with you.
So you're